Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 380 of the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. Joining me again this week, the Godfather, Bill Lack. How are you today, Bill?
Tan, rest, and ready, man. Let's get it on.
Let's do this. Yeah, this is going to be a fun one, I think. Somewhere along the way, the Reds decided to start playing baseball after really kind of bottoming out there at one point. The Reds have now won 13 of their last 16 games. They are currently, they moved up to third place in the Central Division, but just two games behind Chicago and Milwaukee, who are co-leaders of the National League Central. Where did this come from, Bill?
Well, I think it's on you and Chris. Last week, you badmouthed the bullpen for like an hour and a half. And since then, they've been outstanding. They've won six in a row. I think you and Chris just aspire them to play much better baseball.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It's interesting. We are going to talk about the bullpen here in a moment, but this is like, is this the first time in the history of this podcast? And we've been going for 380 episodes. Is this the first time that the Reds didn't lose between podcasts? Literally undefeated since the last time we talked.
Not, it's real close.
Yeah, really. So, yeah, they've won 7 out of 8. They've won, as I said, 13 out of 16. And how this happened was it began with that four-game sweep in St. Louis that just came completely out of nowhere when the Reds were five games under 500. They were 6.5 out of first. And then, of course, they lose 2 out of 3 at home against Milwaukee. And so we're like, well, here we go. They're treading water again. And that's where the last podcast was. And then they proceed to sweep the Colorado Rockies, which, you know, my son's high school baseball team could probably take 2 out of 3 against the Rockies. And then a sweep, though, at division-leading Milwaukee, in which they won one blowout but had 2-1 games. One was an extra inning game. And really, it's a kind of a fun series, exciting series. And now they head out to San Diego. I guess what would you put the odds of after they before that St. Louis series? What kind of odds would you give for the Reds actually ripping off 13 out of 16? Pretty low. I never in a million years would have guessed. Even though we've talked about how this team has some talent, just, I don't know. I'm still blown away by it.
You'd have been better off buying a lottery ticket.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
Your odds would. Better with a lottery ticket. I mean, and they won. And last year when they had a hot streak, I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I've really tried to block out most of last season. So let's dive into the news of the week here, and then we'll circle back around to this big winning streak and how they're looking, because a lot of this news will. And some of our viewer mail questions, we'll play on that. First thing
they did win six in September. Six in a row.
But I'm sure that didn't line up with between podcasts. This was just perfect. We published on a Friday.
Yes. I mean, like I said, you and Chris needed to take your – that was a Sunday to a Friday.
There you go. See? Yeah. I'll take credit for it. Into the news of the week. The Reds, of course, began by placing all-time superstar reliever TJ Antone on the injured list. Oh, mercy. And, you know, some soreness, basically. And this is, you know, I thought the sky is falling. Because at that point, the ERA for any Cincinnati Red reliever not named TJ Antone, if you take Antone out of the mix, the rest of the bullpen's ERA is 6.58. So that's, you would ultimately think, well, that means that the Reds are just going to collapse and die at this point because the bullpen is going to get even worse, right? That's what happened, right?
That's what you would have thought, but they've been pretty good over the last week. 17 and a third innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned, 5 walks, 32 strikeouts.
Yeah, I think since, is that since Antone went out? Because my numbers are a little bit different. Since Antone went out.
That's during the winning streak.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Actually, that's since the last podcast is what that is.
Nice. This is going to have to be the bullpen edition. of the podcast. I've got, since Antone went on the injured list, they've given up 2 runs in 18 and a third innings for a 0.98 ERA. That's just, and you know, Lucas Sims has been good during this, as we would expect, but, you know, Heath Hembree looks pretty good. Brad Brock looks pretty good. And those guys aren't great pitchers, but man, what a perfect time for them to start pitching like they're good. Again, add it to the list of things that are unexpected. Oh.
Well, the thing that's amazing to me through this winning streak is, usually when you have a winning streak like this or you get an early hot streak, you got 2 or 3 players that just start tearing the cover off the ball. And I looked offensively, and nobody's hitting the ball, you know, incredibly well. The guys that have – Votto's probably been the best hitter through this winning streak, or at least since in the last week or so. Suarez, Winker, and Castillo have been okay. You know, Naquin's been about what he's been. But it hasn't been the offense. It's the turnaround of the bullpen that's the key to this winning streak.
Yes, combined with the fact that the offense is continuing to hit well. I mean, this offense has been pretty good.
Yeah.
All season, right.
But the offense isn't carrying them, is what I'm saying. That plus the fact that during this winning streak, the for the most part, the starters are getting into the 6th and 7th inning. And I think that that extra inning or inning and a third, 2 innings, I think that means a lot.
And this is going to be – we had a viewer mail question that's going to kind of touch on this later, but I want to go ahead and get into that because, you know, it appeared to me – he's not said it out loud as far as I've seen. It appeared to me that David Bell understood that he has a garbage dumpster fire bullpen, and so he was doing something that no manager is really doing these days, which is letting a guy go an extra inning there when you're into the third time through the lineup, the opponent's lineup. And I think it was because he didn't trust his bullpen. And, you know, a 6th inning of Tyler Mahle, a 6th inning of Luis Castillo, or even a 7th inning, you know, that's better than, in general, you know, Brad Brock, for example. So you're right. It's been a big key. Having the starting pitching has been good basically all season, even without Castillo. And that's a fantastic point, that part of the bullpen's resurgence has been maybe they're not getting an extra inning every night, you know, to fall apart.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to touch on, though, that you and Chris kind of talked about last week, and you were talking about, you know, that all these guys came from. You know, they're all cast-offs, they're all cuts, they're all, you know. But the one thing you guys didn't talk about when you were talking about extensions, if they're going to do this with a bullpen and try to turn chicken salad in out of chicken crap, the most important extension, wouldn't you think, would be Derek Johnson?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm fully of the opinion.
Nobody's talking about that. And I asked Chris, when we talked to Chris Welch, if he knew what Johnson's contract status was, and he said he did not. But I read somewhere else, and I can't remember where I read it now, that this is the last year of Derek Johnson's contract. If that's the case, that's the number one extension.
My guess is that that's going to be part and parcel with negotiations with manager David Bell. And I've already said on here, I don't think he's done anything to deserve to be fired or not have it renewed. I don't think he's done anything particularly to earn the job either. But he's not had a whole lot of players at his disposal as well. So, you know, I'm okay with bringing back the entire coaching staff, but I absolutely think Derek Johnson should be a number one in terms of coaching when you're talking about extending someone.
Yep.
All right, back to what's going right. You know, this offense, I want to go back to that for just a second, because I got to looking at it as I was writing my piece for my column for Cincinnati Magazine this week. And, you know, I knew they'd been good, but I hadn't really broken it down. And really only the Dodgers have had a better offense than the Reds this season so far. And, you know, a lot of that goes to the dynamic duo, right? Nick Castellanos and Jesse Winker, who just continue to be amazing. But you know, Votto, you're right, Votto came back. And he, you know, he looked a little bit more like classic Votto lately. The catchers continue to, you know, they've faded a little bit, but they continue to be productive. Barnhart and Tyler Stevenson. And Tyler Naquin is just, I can't imagine where this team would be if Tyler Naquin had not done what he's been doing so far this season. You know, because Senzel hurt, Akiyama has, you know, people are screaming about him not being in the lineup, which I get. I want to see him in the lineup, but he's not really done much. So where would we be if we didn't have Tyler Naquin right now?
Probably be the biggest Reds' biggest free agent signing of the offseason.
And nobody predicted that, did they?
No. It's another one. You could have won a lottery easier than you would have predicted that.
Well, maybe not. I mean, they didn't have a whole lot of competition from Reds free agent signs this winter because they didn't have any.
Well, that's true.
But he's fantastic right now, hitting .261, but, you know, .330 on base, .495 slugging. He's got 11 home runs, 42 ribeye steaks, 11 doubles. I mean, he's just been steady the entire season and sometimes spectacular. And he's one of, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Reds, the primary starters, if you don't include Stevenson, Tyler Stevenson, that are above a 100 OPS or at a 100 or higher, which is basically an average hitter or higher.
Marcus.
And Moustakas, although he's only played in 28 games, but you're right, Moustakas is there. And of course, the immortal Max Schrock. Oh, no, he's not one of the starters.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, though, we're 40% into the season.
Yeah.
And who would have predicted that Tyler Naquin would be leading the team in RBIs?
Mrs. Naquin may have.
His mama wouldn't even have said that.
She'd have predicted he might be second or third, right?
That's right.
It's, you know, of course it's
his mom's a big Jesse Winker fan, so
he gets a bat behind Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos, you know, most nights. So when he's not leading off, which he hadn't done here recently, because the Reds have kind of installed a new leadoff. I haven't seen we're recording this before they play in San Diego tonight, but haven't seen the lineup yet. But I think we need to kind of reevaluate. Or maybe not reevaluate, but give an update on Jonathan India, because, you know, India came out like a house of fire and then the league caught up to him. And now he's surging again, you know, making some adjustments of his own. And am I a true believer in Jonathan India? I'm certainly getting there. You know, .367 on base percentage, 40% of the way through the year is nothing to sneeze at for a 24-year-old. What are your thoughts on Jonathan India?
Last month, his on-base percentage, and it's been about a month that he's been in the leadoff spot. His on-base percentage in the last month, .433. That ain't bad.
And plus, he's the only good defensive player on the infield.
Well, that's not a real high bar to set, but I think he's played some pretty good defense at second base.
Yeah. He's, again, that's something, you know, that maybe coming into spring training, no one expected this contributor at second base. Now, another piece of news this week that we need to talk about is Mike Moustakas, because I'm circling around from Jonathan India at second base to the next problem that I saw on the horizon, which is, you know, first of all, Mike Moustakas was sent out on a rehab assignment to AAA, and of course it lasted about one game, three at bats, and he was sent back to Cincinnati to soreness in his injured foot. So his rehab assignment has been kind of stopped cold.
Listed by the Reds medical staff as day-to-day, we'll see him in September.
My question was going to be, this was going to be one of the topics of the podcast for this week, was going to be what are the Reds going to do when Moustakas comes back? And, you know, I thought originally that Suarez to shortstop was never going to happen again. And it may not, because who knows when Moustakas is going to be back. But that's probably the only, since India has kind of had this resurgence here, that's probably the only thing they can do is put Suarez back at short, right?
That's what I would think, and just hold their nose on, you know, pray when they play defense.
Well, with Suarez,
Kyle Farmer is, he's not terrible defensively. He's okay. You know, he catches the balls that he should catch, and he's better defensively than Suarez. But offensively, he's just a black hole.
Yeah, he's less productive than Eugenio Suarez, who has been trash.
Right.
Are we seeing any signs from Suarez? I keep thinking I am, but sometimes I think it's just my mind playing tricks on me. I want so bad to see it.
I don't know. If you look at the splits, I don't know. It's just, in the last 2 weeks, 205, 286, 386.
That's a little better, but it's not.
The last month, 198, 281, 430. He's hit six home runs in the last month.
Yeah, well, those numbers are substantial. For the last month, those numbers are substantially better than his season numbers. So, I don't know.
But the other thing, if it's an improvement, the rise is minuscule.
And it's still nowhere near his expected numbers. And yet the Reds still have the second best offense in the National League. And
you said the number one team is the Dodgers, and they're doing that in Dodger Stadium.
Right, right. Hey, I bought tickets for a game at Dodger Stadium next month. What do you think about that?
Have you ever been there?
Never been there. My first time.
I'm looking forward to hearing your – I've never been there either. I'm looking forward – I've heard it's an absolutely incredible stadium that's empty by the eighth inning.
Yeah. Well, you know, it may be incredible, but they've got one problem with it. The Dodgers play there.
There are those of us that still hate the Dodgers.
They're playing the Diamondbacks that night too, so that's going to be
speaking of bad teams.
Yeah. The offense, fantastic, amazing, incredible, unbelievable. And we've talked about who's been good and who deserves credit, but man, Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos are not slowing down, and I'm a little surprised to note that the All-Star voters have noticed. And both Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos were in the first update in National League All-Star voting, were listed as starters in terms of number of votes received in the National League. Does that surprise you as much as it surprises me?
Absolutely, hugely. And whether that, you know, people sitting at home in front of their computers for half a day voting as many times as they can, switching email addresses and whatever else you need to do, or because it's sure not from people that are filling a ballpark.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, I hope it's Reds fans stuff in the ballot box. Keep doing it. If that's the case, keep voting. But it's just, you know, I expect to see, especially in the early voting, you expect to see some of the guys that are traditionally the big names. And so,
It might be even more impressive that if it isn't mostly Reds fans.
What's impressive to me is that neither Castellanos nor Winker have ever made an All-Star team. And yet somehow people are recognizing that they are just having insanely good seasons. And I don't know, it blew me away when that came out. I never in a million years would have expected that. Yeah, I mean, they're in there ahead of Mookie Betts, who's not having a great season, but still, he's Mookie Betts.
Yeah, and he plays for the Dodgers.
The third outfielder is Atlanta Braves' Ronald Acuna Jr., who is a flat superstar. And that would be the starting three in the outfield if the voting ended now. But we got a long way to go. So if you do that type of thing, if you vote, now's the time to do it, because it would be fantastic to see Winker. Hopefully both of them keep their production up. So I'd like to see both of them at least make the team, whether they're starting or not, because to this point in the season, they're as valuable as any players in the National League. You know, Buster Olney, the baseball writer Buster Olney, had his list out this week of the top five National League MVP candidates right now, and had neither Winker nor Castellanos in the top five, which to me is just, and I know I'm a hometown, I'm a homer, but come on, how do you not have either of those guys in your top five, considering how much the Reds have relied on both those guys? That's the very definition of most valuable. So it seems like to me anyway.
Especially Castellanos, and I love Jesse Winker, but if you're going by, you know, wins above replacement, Castellanos is up there with everybody in the league.
Oh, yeah. You know, last week, my Cincinnati Magazine column kind of showed where they were in the league at that time, and they were actually both 1-2 in the league in, like, just not every category, but most offensive categories. And in WAR, I think Castellanos was number one in the league at that time, and it's been an astounding season for both of them. You know, Jesse Winker leading the team in home runs with 17. You know, we never would have predicted that 4 years ago. And we were big Jesse Winker fans all the way up through the minors, but never would have predicted 17 homers, here at the halfway through June. So
he's got a career high at 40% into the season.
Right. It's fantastic. So, I don't know. It's, before we get into some, I got one more piece of news, and then I want to get into the viewer mail question, because there's a bunch of good items to discuss about how the Reds are going right now. But I want to ask you this question, Bill.
Okay.
You know, 13 out of 16, six in a row, really, doing some scoreboard watching and moving up in the standings, and we've been through so many bad things. I feel like I need to try to enjoy these moments even more so when they come, because we're probably going to have some bad moments ahead of us. Every team does throughout the season. Do you like consciously try to enjoy these moments more because we've suffered for so long? Does that make any sense?
I know what you're saying, but I try not to get too high or too low because, you know, like you said, the low's coming. But how can you not enjoy winning six in a row? I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know, I've said on this podcast 100 times, a team is never as good as they look at their best, and they're never as bad as they look at their worst. And ultimately, this team's just kind of probably what we thought they were, you know, a somewhat above average, maybe slightly above average, average to a slightly above average team. But, you know, right now they're 4 games above 500, and they've been 5 games under, and they dug themselves out of a hole that they were in. And so, if nothing else, we're here on June 17th, excuse me, and they're in the mix. And given that they didn't do jack in the offseason, man, this is kind of where I hoped they'd be midway through June, at least in the mix. A couple games out of first. That's, if you'd told me that, I'd been, okay, that's good. So far, so good, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be curious, and I wish I'd have thought of looking this up earlier. I wonder when the last time they were 4 games over 500 was.
Man, it probably had to be like,
2013?
I would say maybe 14, because didn't they look decent early in the year in 2014? And it seems like they looked decent, and then you know, the All-Star game was coming, and Kastner didn't want to get rid of anyone. And I'm going to look it up while we're talking here. It seems like I got to remember that at some point in that season, they were
It's been a while. It's been a couple of days.
Well, yeah, if it is 2014, that's 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Most games over 500 there. They were 7 over 500 in July of 2014.
Okay.
Yeah. And ultimately finished the season at 76 and 86. So, yeah, so it's I don't think.
7 years ago. Almost, you know.
Yeah, I don't think any season since that they have. So that's why I'm like, man, 7 years, bring it on, bring it on. I'm enjoying it. So these are the podcasts I love having, where we can have something to be happy about and excited about. Let's dive into some viewer mail questions, because like I said, we do have a number of these that touch on some issues that I want to talk about, and that just seems like a good way to get into some of these issues. Before we do that, we got some new members of the family, patreon.com/redlegradio.
That was a nice segue, by the way.
Was it a good one?
Yeah, it was a pretty good one.
I'm pretty smooth on the microphone here, right? I'm like Eric B. No, I'm Rakim. Eric B was the DJ. I'm Rakim, right? Is that a reference you understand?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I listen to you and Chris, and you start talking about me, and you mentioned places, bands I've never even heard of.
You don't know Eric B and Rakim?
No.
Rakim was a microphone fiend. You didn't know that?
I don't even know what that means. It sounds like a guy that does obscene things with a microphone.
No, come on now. Yeah, well, he did do obscene things, just in the hip-hop sense. So, we've got some new members of the family here at Red Leg Nation, patreon.com/redlegradio, where, you know, you can join the family and talk with us on our Slack channel. And if you want to join up and get a shout-out here on the podcast, certainly you're welcome to do that. You don't have to. The podcast.
And that way, some of us can take some time off from the softball team and sit on the bench and drink beer.
Exactly. That's the only reason Bill wants to increase the numbers on this team, right?
That's right. Dagger. I want to become the player manager.
Well, let's run through this week's new members of the crew. First comes from James Urban. James, of course, who, you know, he's been active on Twitter. We've talked to him some on Twitter, and he said, you know, finally, I thought I gotta get off my butt here and join the Beer League softball team. And so he, James, joined us this past week. James Urban. Now, again, if you're new to the podcast, our custom is we got to give you a position on the our Red Leg Nation Radio softball team. Where's James playing? James Urban. What does that sound like to you?
I think he's a third baseman.
Third baseman.
Big hitter, pretty good fielder.
So, who are we talking here? Kind of a, in Reds history, a Willie Green type?
Well, hopefully he'll be around longer than Willie was.
I loved Willie Green.
You do know why you had more people join this week, because you were pretty raw on him last week with Chris.
Was I?
many new members. You were pretty tough on the listeners.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh, and we got in three good new members joined. Actually,
you jumped right into it.
Oh, that's all right. That's funny. And so I'm just going to tell you, we got to have at least three more next week. I'm telling you all right now, we need three more members. Go to patreon.com/redlegradio. Third baseman. No, I'm not saying Willie Green. I'm actually seeing, you know, I can see third base, but I'm kind of like thinking.
Soski.
Okay, maybe. He only played third because Pete Rose was taking up at bats at first. I was thinking more of a Scott Rolen type, kind of a veteran leader. Good with the glove, but, you know, still capable of hitting. So we'll stick with third base. James, you're our third baseman, man. You're either a wily veteran with a good glove or a big bat. So thank you, though. Thank you very much for joining us. Next comes from a friend, and you all have heard this name sometimes. He bumped his pledge up a little bit to join the level where he gets a shout-out. And so Peter Skills Wills. Peter Skills Wills. I'm assuming his name is Peter Wills. And he just, there's I think it was a Nike commercial back in like the early 90s with Tim Hardaway. And Tim Hardaway had this, you know, ridiculous Southern accent. And in the commercial, he said, he was a basketball player, by the way, Bill, for the Golden State Warriors. He said, "I got skills." And we used to think that was hilarious. So, Peter, I got skills, Wills. You got a position for him?
Can you give yourself a nickname? I didn't think you could do that.
We don't know that he's given himself this nickname.
Oh, okay. That's true. That's a good point.
He probably got it on the hard courts of Dayton, Ohio, you know. Pick up basketball. I don't know where he's from. The mean streets of Dayton. So Peter, here I'm seeing a reliever. I'm seeing like a shutdown closer though. I think he's back of the bullpen. Maybe a setup man, but I think he's back of the bullpen. What do you think?
A Scott Sullivan guy.
Oh, a Scott Sullivan. You can pitch him. You can pitch him in the ninth, but you can also pitch him in the seventh and eighth to get to your closer.
And he can pitch every day. I mean, he can just go every. He's got an arm like Pedro Bourbon.
The last Scott Sullivan, if you all don't remember him, you should, because love that guy. He's I think the last Reds reliever, and probably the last Reds reliever ever to throw more than 100 innings in a season. Scott Sullivan.
He did it more than once, if I remember right.
Yeah, and very dependable, and you need a guy to get you through to, you know, whoever the closer du jour is, David Weathers or whoever.
4 years in a row.
All right, so we got a rubber-armed, I think he's a right-hander, and I think he's a submarine thrower.
Oh, well, you always are in softball.
There you go. Exactly. Right. We need that.
Peter, you come up here and they get pissed.
Peter, thank you so much for sticking with us, and really happy to have you as part of the family. Last one comes from Michael Kaiser. Michael Kaiser just today joined up here and couldn't be happier. Michael Kaiser actually took advantage of the you get a little bit of a discount if you sign up for a full year. He took advantage of the full year discount. What do we think? Michael Kaiser. I don't have much of a sense here on what position he plays.
I'm thinking an outfielder. Maybe a corner outfielder.
Okay, corner outfielder. What type of player is he? Big bat? Like a
big arm. Got a big arm.
Big arm. Okay, so
try to take the extra base on Mike Kaiser.
So I'm seeing a Dave Parker type.
Yeah.
Dave Parker type. We'll put him in right field.
And you don't try to go first or third on him.
Never. He'll gun you down.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, Dave Parker could hit a little bit. So a Dave Parker-esque right fielder. Michael Kaiser. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And I look forward to the at least three of you who join before next Thursday.
Let's make Chance start naming names.
That's right. I'm going to call some people out.
Welcome aboard, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. All right, viewer mail questions. First come from Jerry Seduth. Jerry Seduth. I mispronounce it every time. Many of the recent pitching call-ups have looked good on the mound. Is this a matter of Kyle Bodie and Driveline paying off, or is it a matter of batters being unfamiliar with them? Which of these pitchers do you believe have real staying power? Now, this is a question that I think gives us an opportunity to discuss a couple of guys who have made their Major League debut in the last couple of weeks from AAA. Vladimir Gutierrez and Tony Santillan. And both look pretty good. I mean, both have been kind of imperfect, but they've both looked at times like, oh, wow. Especially Gutierrez, who's now started four games and has a 2.74 ERA and has you know, he's battled his command a little bit. He has walked 10 guys, but he struck out 19. He's looked pretty good. And Santion, just the one start, but and he struggled some, but he battled. He fought in and out. I've been incredibly impressed with both those guys. And, you know, I don't know how much credit Kyle Bodie and the Driveline guys get for that, but, you know, I'm happy to believe that they get some credit, because these are two guys who, I mean, Gutierrez was suspended for what are those things called? Performance enhancing drugs. And so we didn't really know what to expect out of him. You know, Santion, frankly, his last minor league season before last year's no minor league season was not good. And now he pitched great in AAA. I don't know. I'm pretty excited about these two guys specifically. There's a couple more pitching prospects I want to talk about in a second, but really impressed by what these guys have brought. Do you give Driveline, Kyle Bodie, do you give them much credit, or do you have any sense? It's hard to tell, I think.
It really is hard to tell. I do want to – Sunday when Santion was pitching, I was sitting in a establishment in Key West called the Green Parrot, and I was watching the game on my phone.
Were you sitting next to Ernest Hemingway?
No, he wasn't there.
Okay.
But I was sitting there talking baseball with my friend Valerie, the bartender, and she runs the TVs in there, and she's a Phillies fan. And she had the game on two of the TVs, so no matter which end of the bar she was working at, she could always see the game. But I watched this kid, and I assume he has much better stuff than he showed Sunday. But he ground through, you know, 4 1/3 and never let up. You know, every time he was in trouble, he'd work out of it. You had to have been impressed with what he did in one start. Now, I'm looking forward to his next start to see what he can do. But it was real impressive on Sunday. And Gutierrez has been very impressive, I think, in his starts. I've seen two of them. And he looks like he knows what he's doing out there. You know, I want to see more strikes than what I'm seeing so far, because walks make me absolutely crazy. But how can you not be impressed? And how in the world do you put Jeff Hoffman back in this rotation when you got these two guys?
You can't.
One would think.
I mean, I'm not saying they need to jettison Hoffman necessarily, but if you put him in the rotation ahead of either of those guys, it makes no sense whatsoever. I don't think that's what's going to happen, frankly. You touched on something that I've seen out of Gutierrez and Santion that's, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's hard to quantify, but it just, they don't seem intimidated out there as pitchers just into the big leagues, and they fight and they battle. And, you know, I like things that can be quantified, and you can't quantify that, but I like watching a guy like that pitch. I've enjoyed both those guys. And, you know, Santion's just 24. Gutierrez just 25.
Yep.
Wow.
A lot of people use that term grinder, and I don't really know how you would define it. But to me, it's a guy that when he's in trouble, he just seems to bear down. The game yesterday, Molly, early on, Molly, he struggled early on. But he ground through the first, like, three innings. Then he got his legs under him. He got the last 12 in a row before he came out of the ballgame. You know, sometimes you grind through and you just grind all game. And some games, like yesterday for Molly, he ground and then all of a sudden his stuff came around. And it got magic. But I like watching these guys that, like you said, they don't seem like they get rattled. They seem like they bear down. I think that's real impressive to watch. And I don't know if that's anything that can be taught or coached, or whether it's just something that you have or you don't have.
I don't know. I don't know enough to know. The only thing about Gutierrez is, you know, there was some talk about all the Reds pitchers getting incredible Hulk tattoos because Wade Miley had the temporary tattoo. Yeah. When he pitches no hitter, and I don't think Gutierrez has any more room, any more canvas on which to put another tattoo, so he may have to get something covered up.
On this off-the-topic stuff, let me ask you a question. Yesterday on the game, they were talking about something about acting like you're riding a motorcycle. Are you aware of this?
I saw them doing it. I don't know what it's about. I don't know the
genesis. It started
genesis.
With Kyle Farmer, and I really couldn't. It was like they started in the, during the game, like they started in the middle of a conversation. And they didn't explain if you know if the beginning of the conversation seemed like it was the game before.
Yeah.
Unless you heard that, what they were talking about yesterday, I couldn't figure out what they were talking about. Yeah. So somebody would let us know what the motorcycle thing is.
The fact is, I'm interested in knowing, with one exception, I like the Reds announcers both on radio and television. But if I'm watching on television, I actually don't listen to very much of what's being said. I'll have the volume kind of turned down.
Well, if Chris is on, even with Chris,
I listen far more often than I do with the other guy that does color. But
why won't you say his name?
Because it hurts me. It just hurts.
It doesn't make him a bad guy. He's my favorite
player ever.
I know, and he has. Now I haven't listened to him lately, so I shouldn't. But he was last time I listened, he was better than he was at the beginning of the season.
I think he's plateaued from what I've listened. Okay. Yeah, but anyway, whatever. Let's move on to
another next manager of the Cincinnati Reds.
Maybe it's possible.
I think it's very possible.
So. One thing I want to mention, because we're talking about Tony Santillan and Vladimir Gutierrez, and there's a couple other pitchers in the minor leagues that I've been clamoring pretty loudly to have up, and the Reds did make a move this week, and they moved super prospect Hunter Green up to AAA Louisville. He'd been, 5-0, 1.98 ERA in AA, 60 strikeouts in 41 innings. 60 strikeouts.
Apparently, he got to the point where he was the best double-A pitcher he could be.
Right. Yeah, right. If you don't get that, go Google Nick Kroll, best double-A pitcher.
Are you allowed to say his name out loud?
Man, what a... Boy, you would not believe the number of people on Twitter. Every time he's mentioned, somebody wants to say, oh, don't let Dotson say anything about him. Which I'm fine with it. Go ahead.
It's like on Harry Potter, He must not be named.
You can abuse me. I got hundreds of people dying to abuse me and have for years. I got no problem with that. But it wears me out sometimes. It's almost as bad now on Twitter as when everybody used to say UMBC, anytime anybody mentioned the University of Virginia to me.
There it is.
So
we are now on 380 podcasts in a row where Chad has to mention the University of Virginia.
Well, since you brought them up, Bill.
No, I didn't. You brought them up.
Since you brought them up, the University of Virginia Cavaliers win 6 straight elimination games to make it to the College World Series. It's amazing. Okay.
Next week, women's lacrosse scores from the University of Virginia by Chad Dotson.
I said something about, hold on a minute, men's lacrosse national champs, back-to-back national champs. I mentioned something on Twitter about Virginia the other day, and some guy tweets back at me. I can't remember his name. I wish I'd looked it up now. And he says, "Wait, you went to Virginia?" And I said, and I responded, "Well, yeah, I did indeed," thinking that it was just somebody that didn't listen to the podcast, maybe just And he said, "Yeah, I know you've mentioned 100 times on the podcast." It's like, "All right, you're right. No, that's fine. You're right."
I don't talk about being in the Navy as much as you talk about being at UVA.
Well, they're the best baseball program in the country. They're the best basketball program, best lacrosse, best soccer. I mean, plus, pretty good academic institution. All right, I'm going to have to edit all that out.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Whoa. Now, the other... My only pitcher that should have been brought up to AAA and was not was Nicolodolo. Now, Nicolodolo has been as good or better than Hunter Green in AA, but he's got this blister issue going on right now that put him back just a little bit. So that it's not because the Reds don't. I expect to see him in AAA the next week or two. And I think at this point, it's almost certain to me. I think it's as close to 100% as you can get that both those guys are going to be in the big leagues this year. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. Two things real quick. One is the blister thing concerns me because it seems like, and I'm digging into memory banks here, but it seems like guys that have that problem end up always having that problem. I hope I'm wrong. But somebody was – one of the Red – I don't remember. Was that Doherty?
Oh, gosh.
The Doherty column that I shared with you the other day?
Yeah.
Isn't that where he said they asked about, no, and they asked Bell if we might see Hunter Green before the end of the year, and he expected him to say, and he said, well, you never know how these things will work out. It's words to that effect. So even David Bell's not downplaying the possibility of Hunter Green before the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's almost guaranteed to me.
I think it's more guaranteed you'll see green and you will see Lodola.
Are you bringing up blisters on pitchers because of Virginia right-hander Griff McGarry, who had to leave the Old Dominion game with a blister and then came back and threw, had to leave again, but he got through almost eight innings against Dallas Baptist?
No, that's not why I brought it up.
to win the game?
Actually, once again, you brought the blister thing up.
It took them within one win of Omaha, and then they won. I'm sorry. I'm really trying to talk myself out of going to Omaha tomorrow. To watch over the weekend to watch Virginia play in the College World Series. All right, I'm sorry. I really do have to cut all that out. I'm making notes here. Andrew Scott Wills.
It's your podcast. You can put in it whatever you want.
I know. I'm trying to get people to, you know, join the family, and I'm just, you know, turning them away by talking about Virginia so much. But they're in the College World Series. Andrew Scott Wills, parentheses, Andy. So when they start calling him Andy Wills here, ask this question. Is that when you hear the word Andy, what do you think of the name Andy?
Andy Travis.
Andy Travis, WKRP.
Speaking of, Herb Tarlick passed away yesterday.
Is that right?
Frank Bonner passed away yesterday.
I hope they buried him in one of those crazy jackets that he always wore.
I love that show. Yeah. I absolutely love that show.
I couldn't decide with Andy whether I was thinking Andy Griffith or Andy Dufresne from Shawshank Redemption.
Both good choices.
Andy asks, since it's the final year of Tucker Barnhart's contract, I'm curious as to what your thoughts are on what the front office will do. Will they let Tucker walk and roll with Stevenson and use the money to upgrade at shortstop? Use the money to upgrade at shortstop. Sorry, Andy.
Silly boy, you.
That's what most big league organizations would do, and so it's a reasonable question, but Castellani. He says, I imagine a two-time...
Patients wouldn't have gone into the season without a shortstop.
Exactly. They wouldn't wait till the next year. He says, I imagine a two-time Gold Glove veteran would be able to make good money at free agency. I'm interested to hear your thoughts, but my thoughts are kind of what we've been saying for about 4 years now, which is sign him to another extension if he's willing to, and I would imagine he would be willing to, and let him, you know, share the position with Tyler Stevenson. Tyler Stevenson slowly kind of, you know, take 60-65% of the starts. It makes all the sense in the world to keep him around because he still can be valuable. Even, you know, his hitting numbers have gone down, but they're still fine. And so, to me, I'm like, you can probably get him. I don't know how much money. I don't know how much money he's going to make could make in free agency. I really don't think it's that much. Is my sense that a guy who's kind of at the point in his career where he's about to become a backup catcher, a really good backup catcher, I think, but I think he's kind of at that point. He may want to go out and see if he can get a big payday, and I wouldn't blame him if he wanted to do that, but I would love to see the Reds keep him around for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years as, you know, the backup to Tyler Stevenson, you know, kind of the catching duo. What do you think, Bill?
I agree with you. I don't know how much a guy that doesn't hit real well, he's become a better hitter since he's concentrated on hitting left-handed.
True.
But, you know, a two-time Gold Glove veteran, you know, Gold Glove winner, that's impressive. They did a video clip yesterday during the game of Stevenson working with the kitchen coach.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
And Tucker was right there talking to him.
Instructing Stevenson, yeah.
Instructing. And Tucker, when he's done playing, would be an amazing coach, I would think, for catchers. And he told Steve, and the story they were telling was that he's told Stevenson, if you've got any questions, you're not. He's trying to bring this young guy along, and my guess is there aren't a whole lot of guys that do that. And that just tells the quality of Tucker Barnhart too. And I've known Tucker. I don't know him well. I've met him a few times, and starting when he played in Dayton, and he's been on the podcast. He's a quality young man. He's not a young man anymore, but he's a quality guy. And he's the kind of guy that's good for your ball club. I would love to see the Reds keep him and as we transition from one catcher to another. I think it would be nothing but good for the ball club.
Yeah, I would have no hesitancy in offering him another four-year deal like they did last time. What you say, really, I don't want to gloss over it because here Tucker Barnhart is, a two-time Gold Glover. You know, he's been with the Reds longer than anyone except Joey Votto. He's had a really good big league career, frankly.
He's only 30,
right? And so he's still got some years to play, you would think. But here comes the first-round draft pick. Here comes the next big catcher for the Reds. And you know this guy's coming to take your job. Tucker's been the starting catcher for the Reds now for a while. And this guy is coming to take your job. And to put that aside and say, I got to help this guy because it's going to help our team. And, you know, it's just, it's a lack of selfishness. It's a selflessness is the word that really impresses me. And it's why I think he's a perfect guy to kind of hold Stevenson's hands for the next 2-3 years, you know, as Stevenson tries to establish himself as a big league catcher. And who knows, maybe at that point, Stevenson moves over to first base. I don't know if that's when Votto was gone, whether that's where his ultimate destination is, but yeah, I'm all for, I don't think he'll cost that much, and I'm all for keeping him around.
Yep. He's been a Red starter for 7 years. This is his 7th year as a starter. That's impressive.
That's a great career. I mean, that's a great career. And we said years ago.
I know we've got a question that's kind of like this, but I would be curious to know how many guys played one position on the Reds for 7 years or more. We're starters at a position for 7 years or more. I bet there aren't 40.
Oh, I bet there's way fewer than that. If there's 20, I'd be surprised. That's a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the guys like, I mean, maybe it's more because before free agency, but yeah, it might be 40. We need to look that up. Yeah.
I just pulled that number out of the air. I have no idea whether it's high, low, or in the middle, but that's a long time to be a starter on one team. I mean, on this team, you'd have him and Joey. I don't think there's anybody else on here that'll be a Winker, maybe. Suarez won't be a starter for 7 years.
You know, you're right. You're right. Well,
go back to the Big Red Machine. Yeah, you got some there. I mean, you got a number of them there, but you've probably got, what, 4, 5 there that started 7 years in a row?
Yeah, probably. How about this question? Tucker Barnhart. If he walks, goes sign somewhere else. Is he a Reds Hall of Famer?
Absolutely.
100%. I saw some people debating that, and I thought, it's not even a debate to me.
No, me either.
Two gold gloves?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I realize golden gloves haven't been around forever, but the Reds only have 3 catchers that have won golden gloves as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. I think we had another question about that. Let me see if I can find that real quick.
It's about Johnny Edwards.
Yeah. Do you see it there? Where is that? Oh, here we go. This comes from Nathan Connor. Nathan Connor, I noticed some Twitter banner. That's what I was just talking about Tucker's place on post-bench Reds catchers. And offshoot from that exchange with this question, who would you rate higher, Johnny Edwards or Tucker? I'll let you answer that one.
Well, I looked it up. And they're pretty close to the same player. Tucker's OPS Plus is 85. His career war with Reds is 7.4. He won 2 gold gloves. Edwards, in the 7 years he was with the Reds, his OPS Plus was 87, 8.6 WAR, 2 Golden Gloves. The thing is, Edwards was offensively was more peaks and valleys. He had 3 seasons over 100 offensively, but he had 3 in the 40s. And Tucker's, other than his rookie year, he's always been in the 70s, 80s, 90s. So it depends on what you're looking for. I probably take Johnny Edwards, but by a whisker. And I can't even. And if somebody said, "Well, you're wrong," I'd say, "Okay, you're probably right. I am wrong."
you're usually wrong. Let's move on here. Again, we've got a lot of viewer mail questions this week. I'm just going to tell you guys, we're probably not going to get to all of them, but that's what happens when the family starts growing a little bit. So we'll try to get to as many as we can here. First comes from Joe Farsing. I like it when the Reds go. Do you gentlemen as well? I love it when the Reds go. Go Reds.
Although, go Reds, go.
A couple weeks ago, I was saying, you know, go Reds and, you know, take the Bengals with you. Not anymore. Jace Linford. Hi, this is Jace Linford, and surely not Jaden Linden here. That's a dumb joke from last week. Thank you for, so I'm sorry for us defaming you like that, Jace. With the emergence of Jonathan India, the working platoon of Naquin Aquino, and Aquino's looked good since he came back, and Shogo Akiyama, is it crazy to think our best option to improve the team is to trade Nick Senzel while he has some value left and let someone else take the gamble on his health? Good question, Jason, and it's something that I've thought about a lot, and people ask me this occasionally. And my question in response is, does what right this second in time, what value does Nick Senzel have on a trade market? What do you think, Bill?
I agree with you. You guys talked about it last week. I agree. What do you think you could get for Nick Senzel right now?
Yeah, that's my thing. I don't think you can get enough to make it. I think his value lies in what he could still possibly provide for this team.
Yep, I agree.
And if he doesn't do that, well, his value will be the same, you know, in a couple of years as it is right now. I just don't think he's got much value right now, which I hate because he's got all the talent in the world. But, you know, one talent is you got to be able to stay on the field.
Well, and to be fair, even when he's been on the field, he hasn't been the player that we thought he'd be.
No, he's not. But he's never had a real substantial period of time to actually show what he has because he keeps getting hurt. So, but you're right. We always talk about you got to grab that brass ring.
Yep, you have to grab the opportunity when it's there.
Yeah. Same with Shogo. I really want to see Shogo more. And people keep asking, why is Shogo not playing? And my response is, well, I want to see Shogo too, but what has he shown us to show that he deserves to be on the field? Now, I think he should be on the field over, you know, the Heinemans, Scott Heinemans of the world. But, yeah, so, I'm not going to say that. I had another good UVA anecdote that relates to Nick Senzel that I'm not going to, I'll tell you later maybe. Let's see, where are we going next? Oh, Peter Skills Will says, generally I found that when the Reds win, it is good, particularly when teams that share the division with them lose. Do you agree that the Reds should continue with this strategy? I think it may work. Yes, continue that strategy. Question from Kyle Kapler. What has the better chance of happening? The Reds spin big at the trade deadline, Jeff Hoffman returning to the rotation, or Jose Barrero making it to Cincinnati this season? What's a better chance of that happening? The Reds spinning big at the trade deadline, Jeff Hoffman returning to the rotation, or Jose Barrero, formerly Jose Iglesias, makes it to Cincinnati this season?
Of those three. Of Barrero.
I think so, too. He's smashing the ball at AA. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not in Louisville already.
I think it's coming soon, yeah. So I would not be surprised. And, you know, he struggled last year, but...
Speaking of Louisville, if when they do bring Lodolo up, if they're back-to-back him and Green, we're going to go down for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely should. You absolutely should. Kyle also has a question for you, Bill. Clapton or Seager?
Clapton.
Not even close.
They didn't call him God. They don't call him God for nothing.
Oh, well, there you go then. Bill blaspheming on the Red Leg Nation Radio podcast.
Hey, I'm just saying that's what the guitar people call him.
We had a good question from Rick.
But I enjoy Bob Seger.
I don't. He's garbage. I mean, he's not Bruce Springsteen garbage, but he's garbage. Richard Stoudard, good question. If we have time, we'll come back around to it. I think it's going to take a long time to discuss that one, so I'm going to... We're trying to move through some of these as quickly as we can. Mike Perry asks at patreon.com/redlegradio, where you too can support the podcast. Since MLB's crackdown on foreign substances, and that's part of the what, well, let's just go ahead and get into it. Richard Stoudard's question was, I recall a couple weeks back, the question was asked, what will Major League Baseball do to add more offense, take away pitching advantage? Seems like they're banning spider tack is what it's called. The real question is, how many games would Gaylord Perry have won if he'd had access to that spider tack? And then Mike Perry says, since MLB's cracking down on foreign substances, Tyler Mahle's spin rate has dropped by about 150 RPM. Do you think we will see negative regression from him as the season continues? So I don't want to really get into this MLB cracking down on the foreign substances topic because we could go on and on and on about that. I expect lots of pitchers. It's not just going to be Tyler Mahle, and it's not just going to be the driveline guys and the Kyle Bodie guys are probably going to see some negative regression, maybe. But then again, you just cited, Mike, that his spin rate dropped. But in his last start, Tyler Mahle went six innings. He struck out tied his career high, 12 strikeouts, two walks, gave up three hits, one earned run, and looked marvelous against, not against a bad team, against the Milwaukee Brewers. So, you know, I don't know. Tyler Mahle's always been able to get people out. He's not the one I'm worried about. You know, a TJ Antone, maybe somebody like that, maybe you worry about. I don't know if worry's the right word, but I think we're going to see crazy things from everyone. And I don't know if you got a quick thought on this crackdown, Bill, because I think we could talk a long time about it. Do you have something quickly you want to toss in there?
No, I think only time will tell. And the policy is kind of funky because, you know, if you get caught cheating, you get suspended for 10 days and they can't replace you on the roster. What happens if they catch like six relievers on the same team?
Well, you're in trouble.
you got Blandino pitching four innings out of the pen.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Blandino's been like the fourth best reliever on this team anyway this season. Hooper Powell. Glad to see you back in the Patreon. The question line here once again, Hooper Powell. What's more impressive, the no-hitter by Wade Miley or throwing a no-hitter through five innings in a beer league softball game? What do you think, Bill?
Well, it depends on how much beer the guys in the on the opposing team in the beer league softball game have been drinking.
That's true. Might not be impressive at all.
No, they might all be passed out on the bench.
John Majewski, Chad has rightly criticized. Thank you, rightly. Thank you for agreeing with me. Finally, someone's on my side. Chad has rightly criticized the Reds' rebuilding effort through the draft and overall player development as a failure. Wait a minute, I'm not sure exactly how I put it, but the rebuild has been a disaster. Now suddenly the rebuilding effort seems like a major success, producing an elite hitter in Jesse Winker, two promising rookies in India and Stevenson, and some strong starting pitching with more help on the way. How do you reevaluate the Reds' rebuild? Do you think we should reevaluate the legacy of Dick Williams? Good question, certainly. I don't know that the rebuilding effort seems like a major success. I think that's not true. I think that that particular clause in the question, the rebuilding effort seems like a major success, it's not true because since they started rebuilding, you know, this is the high watermark basically for them. Yeah. So, and we're talking 7 years in. So the rebuilding effort was a complete and utter disaster. Now, the player development, the drafting player development, I think some of the things Dick Williams did, and I think certainly Winker, India, Stevenson, Tyler Malley, Tony Santion, Vladimir Gutierrez. I mean, that's international drafting and developing. I think there are some things that Dick Williams put into place that absolutely should be remembered fondly. And so I think it's two different questions there. I think, yeah, I'm all in on Dick Williams tried to revolutionize this team. And I don't know for a fact, but it just certainly seems like he was gone because he saw that Bob Castellini was not going to let him finish the job. And he dug this team out of a hole that Walk Jockety dug. And yeah, you're starting to see some of these guys. This team that he put together is not a bad team. They just needed to continue the trust the process, like they say, and continue filling in the holes. And they just stopped. They stopped that after last season. So I don't know that I need to reevaluate, but I hope people do remember Dick Williams fondly. Anything you have to add to that, Bill?
No, I think he deserves complete credit for the turnaround in player development here. But he also has to take some of the, you know, and I know it's on ownership, but he has to take some of the blame for the rebuild.
Yeah, yeah. Again, although he was digging out of a hole that he was getting. Yep. So, but he was part of the rebuild. There's no question.
You know, it's like last week when you guys were, you know, kind of joking about Nick Kroll. You know, he took the job and he's, you know, he's mouthing this platitudes that don't mean anything. But at some point, wouldn't you get tired of saying things that don't mean anything and either say what you really think or quit?
No, not if I've worked my entire adult life to get a particular job and I have one of 30 of those jobs in the entire world.
And see, my self-respect means more to me than a job. It always did and always will.
No, I think I would probably do what he's doing in hopes that at some point ownership's going to come to their senses and I'll be, you know, have the reins taken off me. I might take a position if one were available in another organization.
Or you might leave unexpectedly.
Yeah, if you're already from a family that's
just making it, you know, just pulling something out of the air.
Joey Gaditza, good day, gentlemen. Hope you're both super. Big Boss Bob allows you to make one move ahead of the deadline, but the stipulation is it has to be a former Red returning. Who do you go get?
Trevor Bauer.
Oh, that, you know, I thought, I couldn't think. Yeah, I first thought, well, Didi Gregorius maybe, because he's a former Red, but
yeah,
he's had some injury issues and he's not been great this season, but he's one. I thought Rosell Iglesias, because we need bullpen help.
Yeah.
But I think the only answer is Trevor Bauer, probably right. Or Anthony Scafani, he's been great.
Yeah, he'd be cheaper.
That's true. That's true, as if we're worrying about what Big Bob spends.
Always an important part of the Reds team ownership.
Shouldn't be, but it is. Good grief. Let's see what we got next. Seth Shaner, between podcast comments and questions in the Slack channel, I spent the past few weeks going from seeing something about to awaken in this team to, if we look back later, the turning point might be the win over the Rockies on Saturday. That's a win that came that featured a come-from-behind situation while playing good hard-nosed baseball without relying on the home run to get the job done. When we're in a rainy, cool World Series parade, I like how you think, Seth. What will we look back on as the turning point of the season? And you know what I think it is? I thought about this a little bit. I think it's probably June 1st. The Reds are at home. It's a Tuesday night game. They're playing against Philadelphia. And they get destroyed 17-3. I mean, really, it was bad. The Reds had two position players pitch that night. And it was ugly. It was completely ugly. And you know, I don't know what happened in the clubhouse after the game or anything like that, but I look at that and then I see, wait a minute, and then they go and rip off 13 out of 16 immediately thereafter.
Well, the other thing that's impressive is the day after that game is Gutierrez's first start. Actually, they got a rookie on the mound the next day. Now, they got rained out on the second, I think, or was that an off day? I can't remember now. But anyway, their next game on the third against at St. Louis was Gutierrez's first start.
Yeah, there was a rain out in the final game of the Philadelphia series.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won 11 of 13 since then.
Right.
I don't know. That looks like the turning point to me. All right.
That's when this streak started. I mean, unless you want to go back, you know, I mean, they had won 2 of 3 before, but that's, you know, before the first. They won the last game in the Chicago series, split with Philadelphia, and then they ripped off the 4 in St. Louis. So, you know.
James Urban, if you could grab a beer with any Reds player, who would it be? Past players included. For me, it's got to be Suarez and Barry Larkin. The conversations would be legendary. What do you think, Bill?
Well, it depends on what we're going to talk about. If we're just going to cut up and drink beer, mine would be Adam Dunn and Jay Bruce.
Yeah?
If we're going to talk hitting, Joey Votto and Pete Rose.
What if you're going to talk about soccer?
I would shoot myself.
Yikes. I think Adam Dunn.
I do not have an answer to a soccer head question.
I think Adam Dunn's got to be in there. Joey Votto's got to be in there. Seems like he'd be fun to talk to. You know, Jesse Winker has got to be in there. Suarez too. There's some fun guys. That's a question we could probably spend an hour talking about just so we could talk about all these past players. Good question. Michael Petrie, I'm not going to read his entire question because remember, if you want to get your question read, the best way to do it is short and pithy. Essentially part of his question is, should we be worried about bringing Hunter Green to AAA and putting him in the bullpen in the second half as a fear of quote unquote Chapmaning him, turn him into, and Aroldis Chapman stays in the bullpen. And the truth of the matter is I don't worry about that. Frankly, with Green, I think the Reds have been pretty consistent that he's a starter, whereas I didn't see that, and mostly because Dusty Baker's not in charge. I think Dusty Baker had these sort of old school thinking, and he affected Aroldis Chapman's thoughts about that, and maybe they're right. Chapman's made a lot of money and been a really good reliever for a long time, but I don't worry about that just yet. I'd be perfectly happy with Hunter Green being in the bullpen in the second half of the season. What do you think?
I want Hunter Green up here in the second half of the season in the bullpen. And we'll worry about next year.
Yeah, I think he can really help this bullpen. Rex Scott, Sparky Anderson earned the nickname Captain Hook when he was the Reds manager because of how quick he was to yank a pitch from the game, but David Bell has him beat in my estimation. The game is obviously different now than it was when Sparky was managing, but it seems like the norm for Bell to use 5 or 6 pitchers a game. How much this behavior is related to the quality of our roster? How much is just Bell, or is this typical of most modern managers? My thought is that's what everybody's doing. And actually, we talked earlier, Bell might actually recently have been going back the other way, giving starters an extra inning here or there. But I know everybody gets frustrated with David Bell because of that, but every single manager is doing it. Right, Bill?
Yes. And it's funny, though, because I went back and looked at the 75 team, and their 4 big relievers were Eastwick and McEnany and Bourbonne and Carroll. Carroll threw 56 games, and he was the least number of games out of the bullpen. McEnany was 58, Bourbonne was 67, Will McEnany threw out 70 games. The least number of innings of any of the four was 90. You look at the Reds, they've got guys who've got less innings than they've got games for the season. That, right. was, I mean, that was just unheard of. I mean, that's part of the difference in the game now.
Yeah, Sparky Anderson will get the starter early, but he also let his relievers go longer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's the difference in the game. It's
when you had 4- and 5-man bullpens.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Nowadays, it's you got 15-man bullpens, and you can pitch somebody every inning. So, but it's everybody. It's not just David Bell. I mean, I've got plenty of criticisms of David Bell. This one, I have a hard time. I have a hard time hammering him. Every time some Reds reliever has looked awful this year, you see on Twitter just people slamming David Bell, putting in the wrong pitcher. And I'm like, he doesn't have a choice. He doesn't have a lot of good pitchers out there to choose from, and you can't pick TJ Antonio every day or he'll be hurt, which, well, guess what? It happened.
And it wasn't from overuse.
Exactly.
You know, because one of the things you and I debated before the season was you thought he'd be able to go 2 or 3 innings 3 times a week. And they didn't use him that way, and he still ended up with forearm stiffness or whatever like they were saying it was.
Let me correct you a little bit. I didn't think he would be able to do that. I said that's the only way it made sense to have him in the bullpen is if he could do that.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. All right, last question. Here comes from our buddy Chuck Nichols. Happy day. I like the way to start. Happy day, exclamation point. I like that. I am excited for another episode of Chad and Bill's Excellent Adventures. It's actually Bill and Chad's if we're going to follow the Bill and Ted formula. Hey, did you see the new Bill and Ted movie, Bill?
No, I did not.
Bill S. Lack? I'm Chad S. Dotson Esquire.
I saw the first one. I think I saw the second one.
Oh, my gosh. They're all great. They're all
I do fantastic. Have a limit on time between sequels.
I think that the Bill and Ted movie last year was one of two movies I saw in a theater. I saw that one, and I saw Tenet, Christopher Nolan's Tenet. And I've seen a couple this year already, and I enjoy being back in the theaters.
I always enjoy going to the theater.
It's the only place to watch. I've seen A Quiet Place 2. Have you seen that one yet?
No.
Did you see the first one?
No.
Oh, it's good. You need to see them. You need to see them both. And then I saw In the Heights over the weekend, which I enjoyed as well.
They're running that on HBO Max, I think.
Yeah, and I have HBO Max, but I went to see it in the theater just because it's better in a theater, and it was. Anyway, whatever. I digress again. Chuck asks, imagine, if you will, last year's Reds pitching and this year's offense. Who could stop them? That kind of goes back to what you said about having Trevor Bauer back, right?
Yeah. And the offense is pretty much the same guys as last year.
Yeah.
With the addition of India and
Tyler Naquin.
Kyle Farmer playing every day. But
yeah, you're right, Chuck. It would be essentially put Bauer, Iglesias, and Archie Bradley back on this team.
Yeah.
We're in first place right now.
Probably by a few games.
I don't think there's any question about it. I think just a decent bullpen. And I hate to give any credit to this Yahoo, Phil Razor, who... No, we love you, Phil, but he said, with an average bullpen, this is probably a first-place team. I think it's absolutely right.
It's tough to argue against.
It is, yeah. So, fingers crossed. Either way, it's more fun to talk about what's going on right now than it has been for most of the season. So, enjoy it, Reds fans. Right, Bill? We got to enjoy it, right?
I'm curiously to see how they go against a really good team this weekend.
A team that's been struggling lately, the Padres. But they're good.
A really good team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anytime they run into it always reminds me of that line from Ball 4 where he talks about, you know, they'd been playing and then they went to play Baltimore and Oakland and Minnesota. And they said it was like being the kid that said, well, I had a no-hitter going until the big kids got out of school.
Right. Exactly. It's going to be interesting to see how they I'm really interested in what happens in the first game tonight, certainly, because the Padres are. They're the real deal. So I worry only because I have these flashbacks to all those years the Reds were playing well and then they go out west and it blows up the season.
It's been a burial ground for the Reds over the years.
It has been. So who knows? Maybe this year things will change. Bill, any final thoughts for us?
Go Reds.
Go Reds. This is Red Leg Nation Radio, episode number 380. You can find us wherever you find podcasts. Download us. Please go leave a rating and a review. wherever you find your podcast, especially Apple Podcasts. The best way, though, that we can help grow the family is just talk about us. Well, no, let me change that. If you like us, talk about us. If you don't like us, keep your mouth shut. Bill, always fun talking to you, buddy. Glad to have you back.
Thanks, bud.
All right. For Bill Lack and Will McEnany, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from redlegnation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at redlegnation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.